This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Welcome to the current state of WWE, everybody. It is Monday, March 11th. It is 2024, and WrestleMania continues to creep closer and closer. We're under that 30-day mark. Getting very close to that WrestleMania 40 that we've all been looking forward to. And tonight we're going to be focusing, obviously, with Anthony here in the co-host chair, we're going to be focusing on something a little bit different other than the Cody Rock Roman Seth situation. And that is something that we've touched on a little bit, but I think it's time to dive a little bit deeper into it. And that is the question of, and the debate of, is the World Heavyweight Championship being devalued through this entire build to WrestleMania 40? And we'll answer that question with Anthony. How you doing, man?
Not too bad, man. How about you? I guess, you know what? I won't lead with a question. I'll just lead with an opening statement. Is the World Heavyweight Championship being positioned in any significant way? Because I know they came out that Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins will be in, quote, the co-main event of night two, but it really feels like that belt has taken back seat. And the World Heavyweight Champion in Seth Rollins is kind of playing, riding shotgun with Cody Rhodes.
Well, that's the first I'm hearing of that. I'll take it at face value that they are going to make the World Heavyweight Championship a co-main event on night two, which is really nothing more than telling the fans, yeah, it's really all about Rock, Roman, Cody, and Seth for night one and night two. We're going to at least pretend that there's another main event. It's a bunch of nonsense. It's just to cover their backside. But no, I look at this and the World Heavyweight Championship throughout the process, how has it not been devalued is really more the question to me, because everything that they've done has not been about the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, everything other than Drew, who's the only one who's trying to make it about the championship. That's the only character that's credited with trying to keep this belt relevant.
Yeah. And you know, what was the biggest sign for me that just irked me in a way? Was Seth Rollins coming out to Cody Rhodes' music on SmackDown. I don't know why, but that really rubbed me the wrong way. And I appreciate that they're trying to include Seth Rollins in this program as to not be slipping into the background. So, like, from that standpoint, I completely get it and I respect it. But at the same time, the fact that he's wasting so much time on and energy in something that tangibly he has nothing really invested in, it kind of makes that title feel secondary. And like, when you put those two titles beside each other at this very point in time, it just inherently feels like the lesser championship, because it's been around for only, what, 9 months or so, as opposed to Roman Reigns, who is kind of holding two championships, one of which has been around for, what, 50 years. And like, and then at the same time, it's the Raw belt and he's going to SmackDown, and then Drew McIntyre is like waiting in the wings. Like, it's here's where I'm at with this. When they are in the ring and the actual segment is actualized and they are going about the execution, it's really good stuff. Like that promo between the four of them to end SmackDown was really, really good stuff. I enjoyed it in the moment. But when I step back once the show is done and I start looking at things and their overall direction of the shows, it kind of just brings me back to like the realization that like maybe this is in a backwards way kind of hurting the World Heavyweight Championship.
It is, and I don't think that it's – honestly, I don't think it's lost on them. The reason is, and I brought this up last night, I think it was, that – WWE is using Drew McIntyre as that kind of acknowledgement that they are devaluing the belt or not even paying attention to it, because Drew's whole argument is that Seth, giving him a warning. If you ignore me, you're going to be, you're going to be looking up at the lights while I'm holding your belt above you. And we even saw it symbolically on Raw last week with Seth Rollins literally running past, not even acknowledging Drew at the end of Raw. And he ends up getting claymored because of it. And it's really, again, I think they understand that this belt is being ignored. And Drew is the one who's trying to warn Seth and telling Seth, don't disrespect me. Don't look past me. Your business should be here on Raw. And that's also what's great about the Drew character is he's right. Drew, or rather Seth, should not be focused on the other brand. If he told us that this belt, and Seth did, is the workhorse belt, is the belt that is more important, has more value than the quote-unquote Hollywood belt that he labeled Roman's, then what do you care about what's going on over there if you're telling us you have the top prize? What the hell do you care? What's your vested interest here? And he's telling us, well, sometimes there are bigger things to, bigger fish to fry, and that it's worth the risk of going over there and trying to take down the bloodline. Well, why? Why do you have no one over there that, what is the vested interest here? And he's trying to befriend Cody, but it, all in the process of all this to say that belt has, like you said, about 9 months or so, it has come out of the woodwork and Seth has done a good job with it, but it ultimately has taken a back seat, which is good for Drew, but ultimately not good for WrestleMania when you want the belt to mean the most.
Well, and that's the reason why I wanted them to take the World Heavyweight Championship off of Seth Rollins going into WrestleMania. And to be fair, at the time, I thought it was back when, before CM Punk got hurt, and it was going to be Seth versus Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship. But especially once CM Punk got hurt, I thought it was imperative they took the title off of Seth. Because I felt like Seth's character was going in a direction where you didn't need the championship. And let's be honest here. Take that World Heavyweight Championship away. It is awesome having Seth in this program right now. The execution of what WWE is doing between the four of these guys is brilliant. Like when he called The Rock Mr. Midlife Crisis, that was amazing. Like I'm really looking forward to this dynamic with Seth versus The Rock. Seth versus Roman, finally. I love the fact that they're positioning Seth right at the top with the rest of these guys, and it's respectful to him. But then, like we said, you are inherently hurting that World Heavyweight Championship, and indirectly at the same time. And had you taken it off of Drew McIntyre, or taken it off of Seth and put it on Drew McIntyre, it would have just given the World Heavyweight Championship its own spotlight. And my personal World Heavyweight title match would have been Drew McIntyre versus LA Knight for the World Heavyweight title on Raw. And I know that on the surface, it pales in comparison to Rock and Roman and Seth and Cody. But think about what that program would be with all eyes focused on the World Heavyweight Championship. Like, to me, you really needed this world title to blaze a trail into its first WrestleMania. This is the first WrestleMania that the World Heavyweight Championship is in existence, or I guess in its second existence, is back in action. And it's playing second fiddle to the Undisputed title, which, I mean, we always kind of knew that it was going to, but the World Heavyweight Champion is just involved in this tag team match, even though he doesn't really have a vested interest. Like, it's just a very weird route that they've gone with it. And that's not to say that I haven't enjoyed the content. I really, really have. But at the same time, it sucks how they've gone about it on a macro scale. It's very weird the way I feel right now.
And, you know, as you were laying this out here, it made me realize that not only is Midlife Crisis better than Diarrhea Dwayne, I mean, Mr. Midlife Crisis is much more, I know it doesn't sound as cute, it's not as marketable because it doesn't start with the same letter as Dwayne. I get that, but like it made a lot more sense to call him a midlife crisis because it kind of is with all his identity crises he's having, but it's still entertaining as hell. But more over than that is that it made me think about both belts, really the belts themselves, not the problem, but who's carrying them into WrestleMania have screwed up a lot of things. Like with Roman and Rock, the dream match that we thought was going to happen. We have laid out there how many times that this match would not have been a problem and the fans would have accepted it. We would have had that mega match we all wanted with babyface Rock, with heel Roman if the belt wasn't involved. Now we get Seth Rollins involved as the World Heavyweight Champion. If he just dropped it to Drew and it was Drew versus LA Knight for the world title at WrestleMania, or another combination that made sense, that would have been better because then you have Seth not devaluing the belt. Drew would have been an excellent champion walking into WrestleMania as champion, as world champion. and you have Seth, no title, being involved with a guy that you could bring up the history of with Roman, that we've all been waiting for that to reignite. I mean, to me, it's not the belts themselves, just kind of who's carrying it at WrestleMania that have thrown a wrench into both plans.
Well, and it's also like, was this tag match necessary? Because does it even feel like Roman versus Cody right now? It doesn't to me. It feels more like Rock versus Cody than anything. And Seth, are the belts not kind of playing second fiddle right now?
They are to all the antics, to obviously to The Rock being there, which is the reason that match is happening, is to give The Rock a match at WrestleMania. I mean, that, let's be real, because otherwise, how the hell is The Rock having a match at WrestleMania against two? We don't know. I mean, Randy Orton's locked up, right? Brock Lesnar, although I'm sure you heard the news. Maybe we can touch on that at the end. But other than that, I see that as a reason to give The Rock a match at WrestleMania. It's not a one-on-one. It's a tag team match. And it does have some massive implications. I mean, we kind of saw this dynamic at WrestleMania 30 with Triple H and with Daniel Bryan, when it was a one-night spectacle where he beat Triple H to get into that triple threat at the end of the night. And it's just kind of the same thing, not same stakes, but same idea here with Cody Rhodes having to beat Rock and Roman. Then if he does, he's able to not just get the match, but get the match without the bloodline. And we've gone over the many different iterations of who can interfere and how and all that kind of thing. But I don't know, I just wanted to draw that comparison.
No, it's a valid one. Like, for me personally, I was kind of looking forward to them drawing off of the Rock versus Triple H rivalry. And they even did that on A&E. So I thought they were going to go forward with that. But we haven't seen an interaction since that they kind of came face to face at the press event over a month ago. And I still think that him going up against Randy Orton, who would be fighting on Triple H's behalf, would have been good. And then you let Roman and Cody do their own thing. You do Rock versus Triple H, kind of a power struggle thing on the side with Randy Orton involved. I think that's the way I would have gone about it, just not to take it away from, or the spotlight away from, the WWE Championship and Roman and Cody. But aside from that, I kind of get it that you need a match to put The Rock in. But I mean, for you, are you looking forward to this tag team match, or is it kind of like you are from an in-ring perspective, but you would have rather see them go in a different direction in an overall capacity?
I am, and I'm not going to lie and pretend I'm not. I mean, this overall, the storyline has gone pretty darn well. I mean, I have to say, even the complaints about Cody, everything else, some of the weird comments, I have generally enjoyed it. Heel Rock is infinitely more entertaining. I mean, he has really committed to this role. He's been very good on the microphone. His Twitter posts have been funny. Generally, yeah, I think this is a match I'm looking forward to, specifically too, because of Roman and Seth, which is not a story that they're pushing, but it's one that I've been wanting to see get reignited for a long time. Is this going to be another, a push for Rollins and Roman to have a one-on-one program? Not immediately. I mean, I'm still waiting for that proper program. It seems as if Seth and Roman only cross paths in exhibition ways, or kind of they're on their opposite brands, so they might interact temporarily, but they have yet to have that longstanding proper 3-month program where they just go completely balls to the wall on it, and they haven't done it yet. And I think this is just another one of those, you get a little teaser of these two getting back together or having a proper rivalry, but they won't, I don't think, yet. So I'm looking really forward to that dynamic. And yeah, The Rock back in action. I mean, who can hate that? What can he do? People, is he going to blow up in 3 minutes? How does he look? Now, does he get injured like he did in the John Cena final match, blowing out his hamstring? I mean, you're worried about that too. Let's just hope, by the way, that they are really running a risk of doing a night one match with all of those men in the single match. I mean, seriously, the risk in that match is very high because of the participants in that match that are in the main event of night two. So, like, imagine if something, God forbid, catastrophic happens. What happens to your main event the next night? I mean, they're all professionals. But it's just really is a big risk that you're putting on the table for all four of those men to be in that match the night before.
And who's the only guy not involved? Drew McIntyre. Yeah. So my next question for you is, do you think that this hurts Drew McIntyre in any way?
No. I mean, Drew has been, in spite of all this, Drew, no matter how hot The Rock has been upon his return, Cody Rhodes, whatever, everybody has done an excellent job, I think, generally. In spite of all that, Drew has been on the ascent while that is also happening. So I'm not even concerned about, well, Drew's not going to get the attention or whatever. Drew is carving his own path, kind of doing something on his own, not getting involved in the bloodline. I think that's advantageous because once this bloodline thing and the Rock thing burns out, Drew's still going to be there every week. He's still going to be, hopefully, our world heavyweight champion. He's really, I think, paralleling this, but not crossing with it. Now, he may. It's possible Drew comes in that match, Claymore Seth to cost him that match. I mean, it's possible, depending on things, how it all works out. But I think Drew, in spite of it, has been doing really well. So I'm not worried about him really in the least.
Well, I think that Drew McIntyre is ready to become the World Heavyweight Champion. Like, if he doesn't come out of WrestleMania as World Heavyweight Champion, I think there's a major, major issue. No, nothing against Seth, but we're coming up on, what, 10 months now with him as champion? It will almost be 11 by the time WrestleMania comes and goes. And Drew McIntyre, like you said, has there been any character more intriguing than Drew McIntyre? And that's just a testament to him, how awesome he's been. We're 4 years removed from the COVID WrestleMania that we all wish we could just forget. And even though he's a heel, this is his moment. And they've been teasing it for the last, what, five-ish months? His first crack at it was Crown Jewel back in late October. So I'm really looking forward to this. I'm really looking forward to Drew McIntyre getting his moment, because Monday Night Raw with Drew McIntyre as World Heavyweight Champion seems a lot of fun.
Here's my question to you, because I've heard rumors of this, and it's plausible. Do you think CM Punk, not physically, but he also keeps saying that his mouth still works. Do you think somehow, some way, he may end up costing Drew that match at WrestleMania?
I could see it. I just hope it doesn't happen. Like, we've also heard of, you know, Damian Priest cashing in, which would be very kind of apropos, given that it would be like the first cash in since WrestleMania 31 when Seth did it. And this would be Seth being on the other side of that. I could fully see a world where either CM Punk costs him or Damian Priest gets involved and Drew does not walk out as world champion. I'm just hoping that's not the case. This isn't saying that you have to give Drew a 6-month run or something. Not every title reign has to be like so many months, but I think that he deserves this moment. And not just for making up what happened 4 years ago. Like, some things you can't make up for. But the stars are aligning now. You really have built Drew McIntyre up into one of the most must-see characters week to week, in spite of playing second fiddle and being in the shadow of everything going on SmackDown, and two of Raw's top guys constantly being involved in the storyline on SmackDown. So I think it's really, like, it would be a bad decision to have Drew McIntyre walk out as anything but WWE champion. But there is fully a world where I see it, whether it be with CM Punk or via Damian Priest.
That's a concern. I mean, I'm curious also to hear the crowd reaction for Drew at WrestleMania, because that's a crowd that is always a little bit unique, a little bit more, I don't know if internet wrestling community is the word, or hardcore fan. I don't know how we're labeled these days, whatever kind of derogatory term we're labeled as. It's the more, I guess, baseline foundational fan. It's the fans that can afford to go to an expensive pay-per-view and spend their money to vocalize what they feel about the current product. And sometimes they have different reactions. And my thought is perhaps that Drew gets more cheers than we realize. And I think fans are also just generally, even outside of those fans are ready to embrace a Drew McIntyre heel run, because Seth has done, as we mentioned, a nice 10-month run or so. He has done nothing more than elevate that title up until the last month or two, when he's completely lost focus that he even has it. And then Drew McIntyre has never been more intriguing, has never been better at the top of his game in the ring, on the mic. Character development is off the charts. He's just kind of this smarmy, just kind of quiet, feels like he's always right. It's just a different type of heel that we've discussed. I mean, they could go alternate ways, but the worst case that you could have here, honestly, is Seth retaining. Even if I would even accept Damian Priest winning over Seth retaining. Obviously, Drew would be number one for me. Damian Priest would be number two. And then Seth retaining would be number three. I mean, I just don't see that. Do you think that there's any good in a, I don't care how it happens, Seth retaining at WrestleMania? Is there any good that would come out of that?
I don't think so, because then I think you would have the fans start to resent Seth Rollins, and you don't want that. I still think there's some juice left to be squeezed out, Seth. But I think that you could do with a 3-4 month long hiatus for Seth Rollins. Have you not kind of been Seth Rollins out? Like, I love Seth Rollins. I'm not like a huge proponent of his current character with the outlandish outfits. But as a wrestler, I think he's one of the best. And I really like that they're positioning him as such. But I think a lot of, like, you know, the whole absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think we could stand with that a bit. When's the last time we saw Seth Rollins really, like, detach? Was it when he took time off post-Messiah and then he came back at the Royal Rumble with his current theme song? And that was, what, like, 3 years ago? It's felt like Seth Rollins has just been consistently on television nonstop for 3 years, unless I'm mistaking something.
No, even when he was injured. He blew out his knee a couple months ago. He was still on TV cutting promos, and I get why. He is a big star. He's good on the microphone. He does have a kind of nail on the chalkboard voice. I'm not a big fan of his voice. It's perfectly suited for a heel, but he's really good on the mic, especially when he's serious. And yeah, I could do without the outfits too, but he is one of the best in the ring, bar none. I am a bit Seth Rollins down, especially from the song perspective of, you know, Monday Night Rollins. And like, yeah, the song, I'm just done with it. I'm kind of over people singing the song. That is just my personal take on it. But I think that Seth Rollins could benefit greatly from taking even a month off. Even a month would feel like a long time with Seth Rollins gone from the company, just taking time, heal. Maybe, I don't know, hell, if he does have a bad back, go get it fixed. After WrestleMania is the perfect time to do it, because then you have several months until SummerSlam if you want to make a return, or if you're eyeing next year's WrestleMania. But that is there's no better time than just after WrestleMania. If you drop a belt, go get your body fixed, and then you're ready to go for next WrestleMania season. And that's a perfect place really to not just anoint Drew as your guy, have him have his moment finally, but also have Seth fix himself, allow the fans time to miss Seth Rollins. And honestly, I think it would freshen the product up. And I think it needs a little bit with Seth Rollins, who he's not getting booed, but you're right. I think it would cause a lot of resentment, or start to cause the fans to turn a bit on Rollins, when we're all ready to see what a Drew McIntyre heel run looks like here.
Well, and also look at it from the perspective of superstars who would relish in that opportunity of being bolstered to the main event. Because let's go to the assumption that Cody Rhodes wins the Undisputed Championship, goes over to SmackDown, Drew wins the world title, stays on Monday Night Raw, and then you have the draft. Like, in my mind, LA Knight has a one-way ticket to Monday Night Raw. And I think LA Knight and Drew McIntyre would be a hell of a program. You have Damian Priest lurking around. If you want to send AJ Styles to Monday Night Raw or push him into a main event scene, they have a lot of guys right now. Bobby Lashley's another one of them. They have a lot of guys right now who have just kind of been, like, not lost in obscurity, but in that, like, mid-ish card that could be elevated to the main card. Like, look, I've been very, like, and this is kind of off the beaten path a bit here, but, like, I've been a big pusher, or proponent rather, of Karrion Kross. I think you do too. But don't you feel like Bobby Lashley's kind of being wasted right now, feuding with the Final Testament?
I just brought this up last night too with my co-host. I said, this is it. No one seems to care about this program, because why should we when WWE doesn't seem to? There's no consistency at all, unfortunately, with Karrion Kross, who I think is a very intriguing character. There's a lot. He's very magnetizing when he's speaking. When he speaks, you pay attention. The problem is consistency for him. He can't catch a break when it comes to just, at least for a few weeks, just 3 weeks in a row, having a solid promo or a match that actually has something behind it. There are stakes on the line. And same with Bobby Lashley, who, you know, formed this group. They were babyface, then they went heel for a little while. Now they're back to babyface because it's convenient. And then the Street Profits no one gets any time to talk or tell what they're here for or why they're here, what their issue is with who. Like, we get nothing from either group. They just put them together because they had a bit of a scuffle a month ago. So I just, yeah, really both guys. I mean, Lashley more so because he's not a great promo. He's kind of an awkward promo, but more so Lashley than Karrion. But Karrion's not too far away from both guys. Just no creative consistency, and it's killing both of them, both of their groups.
Yeah, and I really like Harris, and not to shift gears here, but I guess like before we wrap it up, like I do want to talk about a bit the Final Testament, because I like the Authors of Pain. Scarlet, I don't know, she annoys me. I don't know why. Like, I don't know what her deal is. What's his face? Paul Ellering. Like, yeah. I mean, what do you think he adds anything, Paul Ellering?
I feel like he could, but we haven't seen it yet. He's just there. So if I feel like he spoke or did something during matches, like he's just this kind of, they might as well hologram him in because he doesn't do or say anything. So
you like the Final Testament?
Like, yes, I like the name. I like the look. I like how they have the heavies. They have the mouthpiece, kind of the head of the snake of Karrion Kross, and they have that kind of evil, conniving woman with him. All the dynamics are there.
Yep, and I've always, and we spoke about Karrion Kross several times. Like, do you think they need to go over to Monday Night Raw just where there's more time? Because like I look at some of the things that they're investing with on Monday Night Raw, like time wise, like could you fit the Final Testament on Monday Night Raw, and would they have more leeway? Because it feels like on SmackDown, they're just trying to cram so many factions in every single show, whether it's the LWO or Legado del Fantasma, the Bloodline, the Final Testament, Lashley and the Street Profits. Like, maybe they're just being buried behind so many factions on SmackDown.
Also, the fact that The Rock and Cody and Roman and Seth have been taking up like 45 minutes a show. Yeah. So like they're taking up almost half the show. So to be fair, they're not the only ones being victimized by this being, I mean, it's sucking all the air out of the room with this program. And I understand why, it is a massive deal. But like, yeah, this is the sacrifices you're making. These are the collateral damages that you're seeing are groups like the Final Testament and like the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley that still doesn't have a name. So, yeah, I mean, what I'm looking forward to is post-Mania for these guys, because I think they weren't fit into the WrestleMania plans. And after WrestleMania, I think they have a better chance of actually having more consistency, because they have clearly have nothing for them at WrestleMania 40, at least of any massive significance. They might be involved in an 8-man tag or whatever. Like, fine. But I think that, no, for right now, I'm looking post-WrestleMania for them to really to look forward to possibly more consistency.
We spoke about on this show how many times that Raw needed to go to 2 hours. Do you think SmackDown needs to go to 3 hours?
Here's the thing. I don't like any 3-hour show of anything that much. I mean, now I understand that they do it for ad revenue. Big deal. Ad revenue is a massive source of income, even more than the fans with their investments in the network and everything else. So I get that. I don't know if they'll ever do it. They might swap. If they were going to swap, sure. Like, if you're going to make the swap it to SmackDown, just so that maybe it's not a total loss of losing that hour of ad revenue. I get that. But generally, I like a 2-hour wrestling show just as a standard. 2 hours is a great time of it, you know, for people to hold their attention. It gets the you know, kind of, it allows creative to also not have to deal with that third hour. I mean, that's 33% of the show. They don't have to worry about it anymore and really do a nice job of honing in on just this. It allows them to focus a lot more. So I'm a big proponent of 2 hours if they could do it and it doesn't hurt them monetarily. But if you had to, yes, I'd switch it to SmackDown.
Yeah, I just think that SmackDown every week, you're trying to cram so much in there. But to your point, I wonder how it's going to be post-Mania when it's not just Bloodline, Seth, Cody, all this, because there's some, like, even Seth, like AJ Styles and LA Knight, they've only been viewed in backstage segments since they've come back from Australia, right? Like, yeah. Have either of them come out, like, live in person yet?
I don't think so. I mean, no, LA Knight's been on a warpath, just destroying TVs backstage and yelling at Nick Aldis, and then AJ Styles cut it off. I mean, I'm sure you saw it. Yeah. A really good promo. I really enjoyed that promo. That felt like a different man. His promo was just so damn good with AJ Styles against LA Knight. I believe they'll be in the same building next week. But before we go, because I know we're coming up against the clock here, have you heard about the Brock Lesnar return to the main roster on WWE's website? He was taken off when the whole scandal broke and Brock was being tied to the Vince McMahon sex scandal, but now he's been put back into the roster on WWE's page. What do you make of this?
Well, it's significant, right? I mean, I guess because did more details not come out about this lawsuit? Like, I saw Nick Khan's name drawn to it. Like, maybe Brock Lesnar's involvement was, I guess, proven to be like exaggerated, or I don't want to speak out of turn here, but like, given WWE being owned by UFC now and Endeavor and how much they presumably care about their image, and they've even been very vocal about how serious they take these matters, it must mean that they've found some evidence to suggest he's innocent, right?
That's my assumption. It wouldn't make any sense, none, to have WWE, who know they have fans who look at these things, to have Brock be put back on the roster, active roster page, if he wasn't, there wasn't overwhelming evidence that he was, I don't know if he was, I guess, exonerated, or it was just overwhelming evidence that it likely wasn't Brock Lesnar involved or whatever, then they wouldn't put him back on, because again, they're not a private company, as you said. They are a very, very publicly traded non-McMahon owned company now. So they have a ton more stockholders and shareholders to behold into. It would be a very bad look if they put them back. He put him back on the roster, brought him back on TV, and then something else comes out. So they must have really, really done their homework on this case and looked through the evidence and looked at this and said, I guess Brock wasn't involved. Now, he's not back on TV yet, but that'd be my next kind of closing question is, if they bring him back, do they just throw him in with Gunther? I know we have a gauntlet match happening on Raw tonight that will determine who's going to face Gunther at WrestleMania. But if Brock is good to go and they're going to put him back on, what do you do with Brock now that we've only got a few weeks?
Well, assuming that they are fast-tracking Brock to back to WrestleMania and back onto WWE programming, maybe he returns tonight and just annihilates all seven members of that gauntlet match. Like, did that gauntlet match not have pretty bad backlash from the crowd or from fans?
I haven't. Well, I don't know if it's taken place yet. I mean, I don't know.
I meant, no, just the booking. Like, oh. Just like in general, like people had an issue with them booking that gauntlet match.
Only because they feel like Gunther deserves better. I mean, like people feel like at this point, Gunther should have had a mainstream opponent, you know, assigned to him. He should have already been in a program with somebody that was fast or being on track for WrestleMania to clash. And the fans just kind of look at the lineup going, eh. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because I think he might be hurt, but would it have not made a lot of sense for it to be Sheamus, like in a full circle kind of way?
I think it absolutely would have, except the one thing also is Sheamus's, I mean, this may be also a kind of a red herring, but Sheamus deactivated his X account, Twitter account, just recently, over the last like 24, 48 hours. Sheamus has just, it says, if you go on his profile has been deactivated. So I don't know what that means. Yeah. So it could mean that he's trying to trick us all and then he's going to come back. Or it could just mean that him and WWE are not on good terms. But it does, if you look, it says it's been deactivated.
Cool. That would suck. He just got, was his last match was against Edge, was it not?
Yeah, in Toronto. Yep.
What a womp-womp for both of those careers to end that way, eh?
I mean, no disrespect to, obviously, Toronto, Canada. But, just in an exhibition, friendly competition type of match. Not the way that if truly Sheamus, if he's done, not the greatest way to go out. But for Edge, I guess, I mean, that's a whole nother story. So, yeah, it is just kind of a wet fart. Yeah, it's a wet fart in church. It's just kind of like no one wants to see that. You know, it's just, you expect bigger moments for those two men's careers to end in WWE. But all right, any final thoughts?
No, all this to say is, well, all I wanted to say, rather, is that I am enjoying the Rock and Roman and Seth and Cody. I find the execution under Triple H is awesome, and that's a testament to their writing, because even if I don't necessarily agree with things on a macro scale, whenever they do execute something, it's usually knocked out of the park. I love the Rock's entrance. I like the banter with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. I think that everything that they've been doing, especially with Paul Heyman looking at him, putting up the L sign while doing the point for the bloodline, there's a lot more attention to detail. So it's a testament to how good the writing has been under Triple H, is that even when I don't necessarily agree with the direction overall, when the segments are actually executed, it's done so brilliantly.
It's just also a sign of respect to fans when you put more detail in, because the fans, I think there are fans that just look for that detail and maybe overanalyze to the point of looking for things that aren't there. But with under Vince, it was very much kind of simplistic. There wasn't a ton of detail. There wasn't a lot of long-term booking. It was just kind of hot-shotting things at times, especially towards the end. But with Triple H, I think it just shows more of a sign of respect to the intelligence of fans that a lot of times was insulted under the Vince McMahon regime. So I think that, with Triple H in charge, hopefully it continues. And that's not to say he's not going to have blunders. He's already had a few, but of course he's going to. So, yeah, I would agree with that. And I'm ready. I know it's like 3-4 weeks away, but I'm ready to just like see this match. You know, the build is still going to be fun, but right about 3 weeks out, I get to the point of like, okay, can we just get to this match? I need to see what this match is going to do and what these matches are going to do. I want to just get the outcome, right? So I'm already getting a little bit, trepidatious about it. But well, thanks for coming on tonight. It's as always been a blast. I know that we're a little short on time tonight, but we'll make up for it tomorrow or next week, as we will be just, my God, 20 days out from WrestleMania. So looking forward to that. And any final thoughts before we head out?
Well, just check out After Dark. That's the right, one yeah. thing I would say. What did I cover this week? I think it was actually similar to what we talked about, like the overall direction.
Critiquing the WrestleMania direction.
Yeah, exactly. So as you know, kind of like a consistent theme of mine lately, and not to say that I'm not enjoying it. It's just that overall, maybe I would have taken it in a different direction, but I still think the execution has been awesome. So I'm staying positive.
There you go. That's exactly right. You cannot agree with the direction, but respect the process and the execution at the same time. So I think that's where you land, but very good. Well, thanks for coming on tonight, buddy. And we'll be chatting in 7 days.
Looking forward to it, man. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.